Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So the last, the last month, maybe since May, we've been talking about discipleship. We're continuing to talk about discipleship because, you know, no matter what church you're part of, it's all about the Great Commission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. And right at the start of this year, we were sharing about who we are as a location, as part of Bigger Pneuma. We were saying our expression in this season is that we are a family united as... Do you remember what we're united as? A house of prayer. That's cool. You guys don't have a memory as great as mine, but I know you know what I'm talking about. We are a family united as a house of prayer in pursuing God's presence. You can go back to the podcast. We did like a 5-week series on family, on unity, on house of prayer, on pursuing, and on God's presence. This is our focus in this season. We see that expression within this church. And one of our main focus areas when it comes to that is being a family of disciples. Being a family of disciples that make disciples. We are a family of disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. How are you guys going in making disciples? How are you guys going in being discipled? What does it even mean to be a disciple? You all keep looking at the screen. No, look at me, I'm talking. There's nothing on the screen. What does it mean to be a disciple? It's to be a learner. It's to be a student. It's to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We're all growing in that. So we want to be a family of disciples that make disciples. But when you think about the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples. He says, baptizing them in the name of the teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he says, and behold, I am with you always. This is the Great Commission. This is what we're here for. This is what Jesus' last command was, which we talk about being our first priority. His last command, we make it our first priority to go and make disciples. Now, when you think about disciples, what is it that is the mark of a disciple? What is it that a disciple is to be driven by? What is it that is supposed to be the distinguishing factor of a disciple? Is it that we go, like he said, go? Is it that what makes us a disciple? Is it that we make a disciple? Or is it that we baptize people? See, they're all great things. They're all vital. Is it that we teach? Is it that you teach someone to observe what Jesus has commanded? It's all in here. The truth. What is the mark of a disciple? I don't think it's about going. I don't think it's about making. I don't think it's even about baptizing. When I talk about the mark of a disciple. But I think once we start talking about teaching them to observe what he's commanded, it's kind of getting there. Because what has he commanded us to do? There's so many commands in the word. So much instruction. See, Jesus tells the disciples a few days before he was going to go to the cross. He's having a discussion with them at the table, doing what he does, discipling them. He's been hanging out with them for 3 years. And there's just been this moment where Jesus has humbled himself so much that he's in a room with them. They're eating at the table. What does he do? He lays aside his outer garments. This could be a nice time to take my shirt off, but I won't do that because I am hot, as in my body temperature. At this point, Jesus lays aside his outer garments. Okay? They're like, what are you doing, Jesus? He puts his outer garment to the side. He grabs a towel. He wraps it around himself. And what does he do? He starts to wash their feet. They're like, what are you doing, Jesus? And he says, I am your Lord. And if I am to be doing this, how much more should you be doing this for one another? They're astounded, like, wow, Jesus, the Savior, the Son of God, is washing our feet. In those moments, one of his 12 disciples, Judas Iscariot, goes off to betray him, and Jesus knows what he's going off to do. I'm sure his heart was breaking, but he also knew what was coming. He's just been betrayed. But you know what he does straight after that? He encourages the rest of them with this, the mark of a disciple. John 13, 34 to 35. Look in your Bibles with me. Let's see those Bibles, New South. You got a Bible? Wave it at me. Oh, this side's got some Bibles. Some Bibles. Hey, this side doesn't have many Bibles. Where are your Bibles at? We got some Bibles on the other side? Come on, there's Bibles in the house. Lord, would you provide more Bibles? Or Father, would you give people the desire to take it off the shelf and bring it to church? So Jesus says this to them. He says, a new commandment. He gives them a new commandment. This is the mark of a disciple. He says, a new commandment I give to you. That you, he's not just talking to them, he's talking to us. He says that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. He said to them, by this shall all men know. By this shall everyone know that you are my disciples. By the way that you love one another. This is a new commandment he gave to them. To love one another. But it's like, Jesus, what do you mean? Where have you been? We thought you were there from the beginning. A new commandment to love one another. Do you not know Brother Moses? Moses taught. God gave him the law. Leviticus 19, 18. And he said that we are to not revenge our brothers or our sisters. We're not to show vengeance. Come with me to Leviticus 19, 18. Open in your Bibles. It says this. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Jesus, were you not there? The command was already there. What do you mean this is a new commandment? You see, to love is not just a feeling. We know that, right? We hear that. But do we express it in what it's supposed to be? To love is not just a feeling. It is actually a choice. To love is a choice to actively and intentionally demonstrate high value and concern for someone. Did you catch that? It is a choice to actively and intentionally demonstrate high value, high esteem, and concern for someone else. This is what it is to love. Jesus says, this is a new commandment. You see, if you think about what love is, you hear about three different types of love. There's eros, E-R-O-S. This is the romantic kind of love. That's not the love Jesus is talking about. That love is from God, but that's not the one he's talking about to the disciples. There's a love called philia, and that is having a deep affection for someone. It's a brotherly kind of love, being devoted to someone. That's not even the love he's talking about. He's talking about agape. It is unconditional. It is sacrificial. It is self-sacrificial. That's the kind of love Jesus is talking about. Have this love for one another. He says to them, as I have loved you. He says to you and I, as I have loved you, so love one another. Jesus, how did you love them? How did you love your disciples? You're telling them to love one another as you have loved them. How did Jesus love them? He prioritized them. He spent time with them. He taught them. He encouraged them. They even doubted him. They questioned him, but he loved them till the end. John 13, the chapter that we're reading from, starts with this before the washing of the feet. It says this. You got John 13 in your Bibles? It says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. This is how he loved his disciples. This is how he loves you and I. He loved them right to the end. How is this a new commandment, Jesus? What are you talking about? See, not only did Jesus show these disciples how to love by how he loved others, because they saw him show compassion, show kindness, heal people, but he actually loved them. He's saying, just as I have done, do the same. So why is this a new commandment when there, even Jesus himself had taught many times in his time on earth that you are to love your neighbors as you love yourself? Do you know why it was a new commandment? It's because before this moment, the measure of love, the standard of love, was love your neighbor as you love yourself. The measure was, as you love yourself, love others. But now Jesus changes it. It's like, no, look at how I have loved you. He adds to it. He's not taking away from that, but he's adding to it. Look at how I have loved you. Look at how I'm going to love you on the cross. I'm going to give my life. This is how you're to love one another. And he says, by this is how people will know that God is real, that God loves. This is how people will know that you and I are his disciples. It's by how we, Numasouth, love one another. Is there anyone in the room who needs to grow in loving others? Is there anyone, just 2, 3, 4. Is there anyone in the room, count me in, who needs help in loving one another? You see, it takes so much intentionality to love. And recently my wife said something to me that just warmed my heart, that just blew me away. She said, first thing in the morning, she said, babe, how can I love you today? I was like, how can I love you today? See, we can take love for granted. But she was actually being intentional in just saying, how can I love you today? You see, you don't have to always say things like that. But you can, as you walk in your day, Lord, how can I love someone today? How can I show love? It's about that active, being intentional kind of love. And the love that Jesus shows us and he's showing us today and showed us on the cross is substitutionary kind of love. He took our place. It's a gracious kind of love. We do not deserve it. We did not deserve it. We don't deserve it today. Doesn't matter how many people you've seen get saved. It doesn't matter how awesome your marriage is. It doesn't matter. You still do not deserve his love. Doesn't matter how much money you make. You still do not deserve his love. But he gives it to us. Self-sacrificial love. And he says to you and I today, a new commandment. This is the mark of a disciple, that we love one another. You see, we can actually not love people if we don't love God. You can't love people if you don't love God. You actually cannot love God if you do not love people. I can't say, man, I love God if I'm not loving people. And we're actually never going to fully get it. We're never going to be perfect in the standard of love, but we will grow in it. But we actually need to realize that we can't just love God, but then not love people. But as you love God, he says, well, I've given you my love. Are you going to extend that love to that person that hurt you? Or are you just going to cancel them? Are you going to just sit on the other side of church because that other person's sitting on the other side because they hurt you? Or are you actually going to extend my grace and love and do something about it? They might not deserve it, but do you deserve it? You see, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 6:4-5. It says, hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. We cannot love people if we don't love God. Let's go to Mark 12:28-33. Love is a word that comes and goes, but few people really know what it really means to love somebody. Do you hear that? Love is a word that comes and goes, but few people really know what it is to love someone. That's Kirk Franklin. Look it up. But it's so funny how, it's a gospel song, it's so funny how the world sings so much about love, but they don't know what love is. I was trying to look up the greatest love story of all time. I couldn't find Jesus in there. Mark 12. People are asking Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew, Mark. I'm like in Luke right now. I'm trying to find where Mark is. So back in the days I learned Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts unto the Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd something. There's like a song. 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd and 3rd. Yeah, I'm not going to go there. But there's songs. But Mark 12. You guys there yet? See, I just can't help myself. I like to sing. I like to have a bit of joy. I like to be free in the Lord. So if you're not used to it, just put your seatbelt on and just have some fun. Because Jesus loves to have fun and joy. So Mark 12 says, verse 28, and one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, you are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one and there is no other besides him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength and to love one's neighbor as oneself is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. We're to love God. He invites us with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. He's loved us with everything. He gave us Jesus Christ to die on that cross. He's given us everything. He asks us to love him and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But Jesus takes it to the next level and says, love one another as I have loved you. We cannot love people if we don't love God. We cannot love God and not love people. You look in 1 John, you see that talks about love. It talks about how God is love. And it talks about how can you love God and yet not love your brother? Who are you struggling to love? Can the Lord help you to show them love? See, Jesus talks to the disciples at that table. He washes their feet. He puts his garment back on. He tells them about the new commandment. He continues to talk about what is coming. He goes to the cross. He dies. He rises again. He appears to people. He spends time with his disciples. But you know, in that time, we know Peter denied him how many times? He denied Jesus three times. Jesus comes to the lake or the river. I can't remember what it was. And he sees the disciples fishing. They'd gone back to what they know. And he tells them where to cast the net. And there's a massive miracle. Peter is astounded at the catch, massive catch. Jesus is back. Miracles are happening. They have breakfast. And in John 21, just after that, come with me to John. We're going to be flipping through the word today. And Lord, speak to us through your word. So they've just had breakfast. John 21, verse 15 says, when they had finished breakfast, remember this is, we're talking about Peter, the one who denied Jesus. Peter has a moment with Jesus. They've finished breakfast. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? See, we can be so concerned about, does God love me? Oh, I've done this, I've done that. Oh, God, do you love me? He loves you. That's not the question. Let's get the focus off ourselves. He's the one asking you and I, do you love me? Do you love me? He says, Alan, do you love me? Paz, do you love me? Bruce, do you love me? He says to this guy, Peter, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. See, Jesus is saying, do you agape love me? Unconditionally, sacrificially, sacrificing yourself. Will you give me everything? Peter says, oh, I love you, Jesus. You're my brother. Like that kind of love. He's devoted to him, but he just denied him. So he's responding to Jesus with the love that will deny him, the love that will betray when things go bad. The translation of that love that he's giving to Jesus, saying, I love you, is that one of the filio. But Jesus is saying, do you agape? Do you love me? Jesus has to ask him three times. Second time. So Peter says, you know that I love you. So what does Jesus say to him? He says, feed my lambs. So if you love me, do something with it. Show me, he's saying, feed my lambs. He asked him for the second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Then Jesus says to him, tend to my sheep. Tend my sheep. First he says, feed my lambs. Now he says, tend my sheep. And then verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Man, three times? Seriously, Dahlia, three times? What's that about? Three times. It's like, Jesus, can't you hear what I'm saying? But I'm like, Peter, what do you mean three times? You denied him three times. Can't he ask you three times? So his response, before he even responds, it's like it says Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And Peter says to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Third time he says, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. See, Jesus knew what was coming for Peter. He knew he was giving him strength. The Spirit was going to come, was going to fill him, and that the world was going to be turned upside down. That Peter was going to give of himself and follow God like never before. But he knew that he was going to love people and he was going to love God just like Jesus loved God, and that he would die on a cross too. And after Jesus said all this, he says to him, follow me. So Jesus is saying to you and I, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he's saying, show me by following me. The mark of a disciple is what? Love, 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 love. Lord, may we be known as a people of love. I want to ask you today, church, who are you feeding? Who are you feeding? He said to him, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Who are you feeding? We all consume the word. We all hear the word. We're all walking with God. But who are we feeding? And who is feeding us? This is all part of discipleship and becoming more like Jesus. See, to love, we see that to love is actually to lay ourselves down for others. Love is not just about, oh, I love you, so I'm going to get this. You love me, you give me this. It's actually about laying yourself down for others. Jesus laid aside his garment. That same laid aside word is the same laying down yourself. It's the same word for laying down when it says, greater love has no one than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends, for his brothers. See, we might not all have to lose our lives for someone, die for someone. Some people, it's happening right now because they want to see people get saved. They're dying. We don't experience that in this nation. But there's so many other ways Jesus leads us to show love sacrificially. Spend time with someone. Look out for someone. Listen to someone. Encourage someone. Give to someone. Call someone. Whatever it is, we have so much of God who is love in us that we need to give it out. And people are supposed to see God in us through that. John 15, so Jesus has been at the table talking to the disciples. He continues to talk to them in John 15. Come with me. John 15, he's talking about abide in me and I in you. He's talking about I am the vine, you are the branches. He's talking about us being united with him. And then verse 9, he says this. Are you guys still with me? John 15, flip in your Bibles with me. You got 10 seconds. John 15, just a few pages afterwards. John 15, verse 9. Jesus says this to his disciples. If you don't have your Bible, don't stress. Just listen, because it ain't coming on the screen today. The only thing we want on the screen is the mark of a disciple. And John 13, 34 to 35. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says it again to them. He says, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And then he says, these things I command you so that you will love one another. Do you know all the things God commands you and I to do through the word? Do you know the whole point of that is? So that we can love one another. And that comes from receiving his love. That comes from loving him. And then we do what he asks us to do. And then the result is that we love one another. Another result of that is that people see that we are his disciples. And they're attracted. There's a magnet to them, to us, because of our love for one another. So to love is to lay yourself down for others. Is to sacrifice. Sacrifice is losing something. It will cost you. This is what love is. It costs. See, love God's love. He is love. Love is actually about how you and I treat others. That's what love is all about. To love God and to love others. To love God and to love others is actually being conformed into the image of Christ. You want to be like Jesus? Love his Father and love people. Love his Father and love people. And it starts at home. You can't love people if you don't love your spouse. Or if you're not loving your kids. And I'm telling you today, guys, none of us are perfect at this. This is an invitation to lean more into him who is love. We all get it wrong, but Jesus made a way. But he's saying, don't get lost trying to do this, trying to do that, but just focus on him who is love. Abide in him and be intentional about loving people. So it's all about how we treat others. Let's go to a wedding for a moment. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Anyone getting tired of flipping through the word? We're going to be done real soon. And we're going to do it all in love. 1 Corinthians 13, where are you, 1 Corinthians? I think it's after Acts. That's it. You guys don't want to flip to it. I don't hear any pages. You got it so quick, quicker than me. See, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the way of love. We know Paul has just been talking to the church in Corinth about the spiritual gifts. And then it says this. I said, let's go to a wedding because you hear this at weddings all the time. But it doesn't really have much to do with weddings. If I speak in the tongue, I'm starting from verse 1. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, imagine that, give away all you have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Man. Love is so important. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. See, now these words we're hearing are verbs. They're doing words. Remember, love is active. Love is active. Love is intentional. It says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. We're hearing what love is. And we're hearing what love is not. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. It does not insist on its own way. Oh, man, that hits me hard. What? Love does not insist. I want it my way. I will try fight for it. My wife tells me I'm defensive. Oh, yes, I am. Because I want it my way. Man, God just revealed something to me there. That's why I'm defensive. Love is not irritable. We're working on it, don't worry. We're working on it. She's got her stuff too. It's not the right forum. It's not irritable. Love is not irritable. Man, I get so irritable. Just fast for 2 hours and I get irritable. It's not resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, do we have people that love the prophetic? I see you over there. I see that hand. We are a prophetic church. But it says, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is, man, Love never ends. What does the world see? What do people see when they look at the Newman South family? Think about the people that come off the streets, the people that live in their cars. What do they see when they see us walk past the cars? Walk past them in the foyer? Do we just run into church, or do we actually stop and say, hey, how you doing? What does the world see when they see how we relate to one another? Do they see disunity? Do they see gossip? Do they see unhealthy relationships? Or do they see normal people that have differences working together to sort it out, loving one another? What do they see? What does God want them to see? Do you love God more than everything? Do you love God more than anyone else? If you say yes, I love God more than anyone else, I love God more than everything else, then how is that seen in your love for people? How is your devotion and your love for God seen in your love for people, in what your calendar looks like? What's on your calendar? How is it seen on my calendar? How is it seen in my bank account? My love for people or my love for God? And the two are so linked. How is it seen in how I stop to talk to someone that I wasn't planning on talking to? How is it seen when I'm at work? Babe, do you mind helping me out? Sorry, guys, this is funny. How is it seen? See, this is love. For those listening on the podcast, my wife has just tied my shoelaces so I don't trip. She's washing my feet. Thanks, babe. But how is it seen when you're at work and you walk out of the lift and you don't actually walk past the receptionist or the reception team and you actually say, hey, how's your weekend? How you doing? Or during the week, as you walk into your workspace, you just don't go home, just sit on your desk and just focus on you all day. But you actually just ask people, how you doing? Or just have a chat, whatever God leads. Is there room? Can people see God's love in and through us? See, the currency that is needed for love, the currency that is needed for love is a currency that all of us have. That currency is time. We all have time. This is the currency that is needed for love. I have one of my spiritual fathers. He's a brother. He's like a friend. But he speaks into my life. And I see him quite often. But when I go to see this guy, he'll make an omelet for me. He'll make a coffee for me. We'll sit down for a couple of hours. We'll go through the word. We'll pray together. We'll talk about life. He'll ask me questions that challenge me that not many people ever bother to ask. Some for good reasons, some for bad reasons. But he'll ask me things like, is there any do not disturb areas in your life where no one can ask you that? Where you don't even have anyone you want to ask you? Is there any secret sin in your life that's keeping you captive? I'll tell you what, that has blessed my life. It has challenged me so much. But I can now walk in freedom because I don't have secrets that I'm not telling my wife or I'm not telling any friends. See, we can do discipleship. Oh, I've got, someone's discipling me. Yep, he's we sit down for coffee, we have a chat, but we never actually really get down to it and ask the hard questions, or not even just ask. We can literally lie. See, I've walked through seasons where I've just omitted stuff. I just haven't said anything about it because they haven't asked. But I have people in my life that take time. And I encourage you to pray. Lord, show me who I can invite into my life, who is going to challenge. Because yet the Holy Spirit's more than enough. He will challenge you. But then if you're not then going to give space for God to love you through people, you will stay in bondage. I've got a friend who's in his 80s, another friend. This guy's in his 80s. He will ride his e-bike on two. So that means he's putting some work into it. He's not just, you know, going, it's an electric bike, let's just go. He will ride his electric bike for 2 hours to come and spend time with me. And we just get to just chat. Time. How can you love people with your time? And how can people see that love? See, doing, it's not about doing. I believe doing is not loving, but actually a doing that comes out of love is what God is most after. We are to do not for love, but to do out of love. We can do so many things, get busy serving the Lord because we want Him to love us more, or we want them to love us more. We don't do for love, but we do out of love. And what I love with all these things that I'm talking about today, so many things, right? All to do with love, is actually we cannot love well without the help of the Holy Spirit. We cannot love well without the help of the Holy. We can't do any of this by ourselves. We can't keep any of the commandments. And it's not about keeping the commandments because Jesus showed us already we can't do it. So He came, He gave His life, but then He empowers us to do it through Him. And He says the main way you do that is through love. Imagine if love was your filter. Is this loving? Is this out of love? You still get it wrong, and when you get it wrong, you lean on His love, but you don't lean on His love and take His grace for advantage, but you learn from it. So we cannot love well without the Holy Spirit. John 14, 15 to 16 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father and He will give you another helper to be with you forever. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father and He will give you another helper. We should never get to a point where we're like, man, I'm loving well, I'm good, I've got this sorted. We all need the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us, we heard it today at some point, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. What kind of spirit has He given us? One of power and one of love. We have it. You've already got the love. You've got the love. Spirit of power, spirit of love, and a sound mind. 1 Corinthians 14, after the love chapter, says, pursue what? Pursue love and earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Goes on and on and on. Love is the word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. See how love is all through the word? This is the mark of a disciple. If you want to walk in this love, do you want to walk in this love? Do you want to be marked by this love? Then what we're to do is to obey the Father. And that sounds hard, doesn't it, sometimes? Obey the Father. But Jesus actually helps us to obey the Father. It's whether you're going to say, yes, I want to obey the Father. Jesus, help me. He's with us always. We need to get out of the way and let Him help us. Love is shown through our obedience to Him.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.